We are in Joshua chapter 23, and we're drawing today towards the end of the book of Joshua. In fact, we're going to close out the book of Joshua today. And we've seen some amazing things happen as we've gone through this book. We followed the children of Israel into the promised land, crossing over the River Jordan on dry ground, taking Jericho and Ai and Hebron, and the sun and the moon standing still in the valley of Ajalon. We've even saw hailstones killing more of the enemy than the Israeli army did with the sword. And the tabernacle was finally moved from Gilgal to Shiloh. And then the land has been shared out among the tribes in just the way that the Lord said it would. And the Levites have got their cities, and the cities of refuge have been established. And last time we saw that at last, after fighting alongside their brothers in all of the battles, the 2.5 tribes have gone back to their own lands that they'd chosen on the eastern side of the River Jordan. So now, as the book of Joshua begins to draw to a close, verse 1 of chapter 23 says this: "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." And he must really be looking old now, because we were told that exactly the same thing before the wars of Canaan started. So it says, "And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said to them, 'I am old and stricken in age. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Behold, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even to the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out, drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised to you.'" And verse 6 says, "Be you therefore, because of all that, very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." Now this is interesting, because Joshua is ready to pass off the scene now, and he says to this generation the very same words that God himself spoke to him in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. The very same words: "Be you therefore very courageous and keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside to the right hand or to the left hand." And that's the same thing that the Lord challenged him with before the wars of Canaan began. And now, here he is at the end of his life, and he's looking at a generation that he's going to leave behind him. So, you know, you just got to kind of imagine this. Joshua can remember all the way back to Egypt and the slavery and the bondage that Israel endured under Pharaoh. He can remember all that, you know, and he can remember the plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea and the years in the wilderness and the generation that died off because they wouldn't believe God's promises to them. And now look at him, you know, here he is now with a whole new generation, most of whom hadn't got a clue of any of the things that he had seen and experienced way back then. And here he is now, after all he's been through and witnessed and been involved in, and he's giving them the benefit of his advice. Of course, they had seen God give them victory after victory as they conquered the land, but this is a people that God has already told Joshua that in times to come will go and worship other gods. And you know, the older you get, the more you kind of remember. As time goes on, you know, you kind of get this desire just to share some of those things with others. Now, of course, generally speaking, when you get older today, you don't know about anything anymore, do you? You know, I mean, you don't know about things like Spotify and Deezer and CarPlay, and you don't know anything about those major life-changing things in life, you know. You don't know anything about those things. But of course, in reality, you've been around a really long time. And in fact, the only things you don't know about are Spotify and Deezer and CarPlay. And I think it's the same, you know, when you speak to some of the old preachers, you know, they just want to share what they've learned about the Lord with the people, if only they will listen. You know, I get the same kind of sense whenever I'm up here doing a wedding. We've been talking about weddings this morning. We haven't had one here for a while. But I would imagine that's all going to change over the next few years with the number of young people we've got here. But, you know, you get a bride and a groom up here standing in front of me, you know, and I'm saying, you know, with this ring I thee wed, and unto you I pledge my love. And they repeat that after me and they go along with that, you know. And then we get to honour you and cherish you. And that gets a little bit harder, you know, it's just a bit more difficult. And then it goes to in sickness and in health. And they say it, but they don't have a clue at that point what they're agreeing to, you know. For richer or for poorer. They have no idea. For better or for worse. Till death do us part. You know, they're just saying those words, and in as much as they understand them, they mean them, but they don't realise that the reason we say those words is because all those things happen. They happen. And you know, after you've been married 20 or 30, 40 years, then you look back and you think, man, did I say that? I did say that, didn't I? And you know, I think it's just like Joshua here, standing here and he's talking to the children of Israel and he's asking them to commit themselves to the Lord and saying, guys, you need to be courageous. Very strong and courageous because of him. He's the one. Do everything that's written in this book of the law of Moses. Give your life to the word of God. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Because you see, that's the path that Joshua walked himself. And he'd experienced those things. And he's seen the blessings of living a life like that. And he's passing it on here. That's what he's doing. So he says, be strong and very courageous, that you come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves to them, but cleave to the Lord your God. Cleave. That word we often use in marriage. Cleave to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. And that does happen later on as we go through God's word. For the Lord your God, he it is that fights for you, as he has promised you. Take good heed therefore to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave to the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they to you, and here's the warning, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. It says they shall be snares and traps, and the language here is that a trap with bait in it, like a mouse trap. They'll be drawn into it, is what he's saying. And again, on that subject, and we've said it so many times before, rat poison is 99% nutritious. But it kills them. The 1% kills them. It's 99% nutritious, otherwise they wouldn't touch it, would they? So, you know, we need to be careful out there in the world as believers. You know, well, 90% of it is just good fun, isn't it? It's the 1% that's deadly. And the problem is, with rats, it's impossible for them to distinguish between the two. They can't separate. They don't know how to separate one from the other. And they don't have a chance unless they avoid it altogether. Oh yes, be in the world, but don't be of it. And Joshua also talks about here about scourges and thorns in your eyes. Now, have you ever had thorns in your eyes? I haven't personally, but I can imagine how painful it is. I know what it's like if you get an eyelash in your eye, how painful that can be. Or a little bit of grit. But he talks about thorns in your eyes. That's really painful. In fact, none of this sounds really pleasant to me. And Joshua says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass to you, and not one thing has failed thereof." Joshua says, "I'm going to go the way of all the earth." And that's the exact same thing that David said to Solomon. "I'm going the way of all the earth. And so am I, and so are you." Whether it's at 16 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 70 or whatever, all flesh is as grass, the Bible says, and the wind passes over it and it withers and it's gone. How many of you that are in this room this morning that are over 60 or 70 could stand up and tell everybody that life has just gone by just like that? And you can remember when you were a little boy or a little girl and how quickly it's gone by. And all of us here this morning are going the way of all the earth. 100 out of 100 die. Verse 15 says, "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you." Now, you see, I can handle all this as we read this, because I know that the place where I'm going is not where all the earth ends up. I know in whom I have believed. And you know, I've never died before, but I've got certain expectations that are attached to that experience. You know, if you love the Lord and are born again, and that's the criteria, by the way, being born again. If you are, then Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, so many people read the modern translations based on that Sinaiticus forgery that we were talking about earlier, and they read that as saying a future and a hope. It's not a hope, it's an expected end. So, you know, reading these things that we're looking at here doesn't faze me at all, because I know 100% where I'm going. It'll be exactly the end that I expected. Now, chapter 24 starts by saying, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So the book of Joshua ends with these two exhortations. Chapter 23, which we've just gone through, is primarily to the leaders. This one now is to everybody. And this one takes place at Shechem. And this is the very place where in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your seed will I give this land." And he built an altar there. And so here we are now, around 600 years later, millions of the children of Israel are back here, with all of the Canaanites defeated or subdued. And the land is theirs now. And here's Joshua now, and he says, "Thus says the Lord." And this is really interesting, because God is actually speaking right through him now, from this point onwards. He speaks right through Joshua to the people of Israel. And it's a very interesting exhortation, which comes directly from the Lord through the mouth of Joshua. And God himself says now, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave to Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave to Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I sent Moses also, and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Ammonites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken to Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. But not with your sword, nor with your bow." And I think of the hailstones as well here. "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. And the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat." So, you know, it says then in verse 14, just to continue for a minute, it says, "Now therefore fear, because of those things, fear the Lord your God and serve him in sincerity and in truth." It's a long time since I've heard somebody say that they fear the Lord, you know. The fear of the Lord doesn't seem to be around anymore, but he's still as great and mighty as he ever was. And as we read these things, we can see how great and mighty he is. But he says, "Now for fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So, you know, here's this exhortation now. Joshua stands up, and I don't know what was on his mind when he stood up, but as he stands up, he says, "Thus says the Lord." And the Lord just kind of takes over here. And he begins to say, I called you. I called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. I'm the one who gave him Isaac. and gave to Isaac Jacob. I'm the one who led your ancestors down to Egypt to grow into a nation and stay there for 215 years. I'm the one who called Moses and sent him to you when you were crying out in your distress. I'm the one who sent the plagues on Egypt. I'm the one who delivered you and brought you out. And you cried out to me by the Red Sea, and I'm the one who led you across on dry ground and destroyed the Egyptian army. And I was with you all through the wilderness, and I led you to the two kings of the Amorites, and I gave you victory and delivered you and refused to listen to Balaam. But I blessed you and I sent hornets in front of you. And I brought you across the Jordan and defeated Jericho by having the walls fall down. And I'm the one who's given you a land that you don't deserve, and cities that you didn't build, and olive yards and vineyards that you didn't plant. And God said, I did all of this for you. Now, therefore, he says, serve the Lord your God with fear and sincerity and in truth. And then Joshua says, you know, in the light of all that God's done for you, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord who's done all that for you, choose this day whom you will serve. Do you want to serve the gods of your fathers who worship dumb idols on the other side of the flood? You know, I have to share this with you, but I was reading something this week. Something that the Pope has said that apparently he's actually said that there's corruption in the Vatican, but he sleeps at night. It doesn't stop him sleeping at night. And he's not on tranquilizers. What he does is he writes everything that troubles him down in a letter, and then he puts it at the feet of the statue of Joseph at the end of his bed, and he sleeps. You know, that story, I won't go into it again now, but I just feel I want to put a hammer in the hand of the statue of Joseph at the end of the Pope's bed, you know? You know the story, I'm sure, about the Abraham. Do you know that story? When he puts... his father goes out and he smashes all the idols and he puts the hammer in the arms of the one idol he leaves, and his dad comes back, well, what have you done? He said, it wasn't me, it was that idol. He's done it. He said, don't be silly, idols can't do that. He said, exactly. You know? So, you know, Joshua says here, do you want to serve the gods of your fathers who worship dumb idols on the other side of the flood? Or do you want to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell? They didn't do much for them. Well, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And notice here, he says, sir, choose this day not if you will serve, but whom you will serve. Because everyone ends up serving somebody or something. We all do. Because we are made worshippers. We are made to serve. The quest of human life isn't to find freedom, but to serve the right master. And there are some pretty cruel masters out there, I can tell you. And you will be mastered by something, whether it be drugs or drink or sex or success or power or maybe just even pride. But you'll be mastered by something or someone. So choose this day whom you will serve. You know, why not be mastered by the one who died for you and who gave his life for you and still today provides for you and gave you victory, who made you his son or his daughter? Choose life. Choose the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. You know, you have a remarkable capacity to choose. You do. Each of us have a remarkable capacity to choose. The cow that's grazing in the field does not choose. The salmon migrating back up the stream that it was spawned in doesn't choose where to go. The birds flying south for the winter don't choose whether they want to do that or not. Again, people say, how can a God of love send people to hell? He doesn't. He doesn't. People choose what lifestyle they want to live. And he is a just God. People choose where they want to go. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And every father here today needs to stand up and be counted in his home. Every father, because the country that we live in will offer different gods to your children. They will be told in school that they can get an abortion without your approval. They will be handed free condoms when they go to university and told that sexual immorality is not wrong. Other gods will be placed before them. So, dads, you need to stand up. I need to stand up. We need to be counted. And say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Verse 16 says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. So there's been such conviction here, as the Lord's spoken through Joshua, that they respond straight away and choose the Lord. There's no contest here, and I hope that's the same with all of us this morning too, as we read through this. Now, look, this is interesting, because look what Joshua says in reply. Verse 19, he says, and Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. So Joshua is challenging him now. He said, this is not something you just stand up and say, yeah, okay, we'll choose God. And we've got to remember, this is the old covenant, and that was based on man's faithfulness to God. Thank God that under Jesus Christ we have a better covenant. And now the covenant is based on God's faithfulness to us. And that is so wonderful, and we should never stop praising God every day for that. But here Joshua says, you can't just stand here and mouth the words and think everything's going to be all right. You can't just do that, he said. Because God's holy and he's a jealous God. If you turn and serve other gods, he'll judge you. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Look at what Joshua says. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, Joshua, now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. The tenses here are that there were already those among them who had already begun to worship other gods. They'd already began to get involved with the things of the world that was around them. And they were already straying away from the truth, from the things of God. And Joshua says here to them, you said you've chosen God, so you are witnesses against yourselves. Wow. Just think of that for a minute. Because it's the same with us today, isn't it? If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves by his name, then that carries with it a responsibility. At risk of being boring, I'm going to say that again. If we call ourselves by his name, if we call ourselves Christians, that carries with it a responsibility. And we must not take the Lord's name in vain. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. They will break that covenant. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the law which spoke to us, and it shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny God." It's interesting that, you know, because a stone, I don't know whether any of you can remember back as far as tape recorders and cassettes. Well, they were coated in a produce that came from stone, iron ore basically, ferrous oxide. And so we go on, you know, those things that are recorded there, that comes from a rock. And this says the rock has heard you. It's very interesting as you read it. "The stone shall be a witness, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall be therefore a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, and every man to his inheritance. And there came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance at Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in the hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. So this book, which details then the conquest of the land, the promised land, closes with the death of Joshua, and he's buried in his inheritance. And the bones of Joseph, which were brought up out of Egypt, are buried in his inheritance. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, dies and is buried in his inheritance too. And, you know, what a testimony this is to the faithfulness of God. These three. You know, Joshua means the Lord is salvation. Joseph means he shall add or multiply. And Eleazar means God is our helper or our help. What a testimony. God is our salvation. He multiplies us and he's helped us. And every man was buried in his portion. And all of the things that God said he would do were fulfilled. All of them. Every one. Because his love never fails, does it? Let's bow our hearts to pray. Father God, we thank you once again for your word to us today. Father, we thank you that we have it in its entirety, Father, and we do thank you too for all that people have suffered, that we have your word today. Father, we thank you for those that have gone before us, that have allowed us to have your word, and that they've brought it down through the centuries to us. Father, we pray that we will base our lives on your word. As we've heard this morning, Father, Help us to live our lives the way your word tells us to. And Father, we do pray as well that you will just take us to be witnesses. We are witnesses of ourselves, having called ourselves by your name. So Father, help us to be witnesses this week as we go out into the world. And Father, may it not just be by the words we say, but by the way we live our lives too, that we glorify you this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. God bless you.